You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Oh shit, oh shit. What's up, guys? It's me. You know who it is. It's Chris Crespo hanging out. And I'm just hanging out. That's all I'm doing right now. It's a random Friday night. Just gonna chill, listen to some music, ramble into a microphone. Because some things, this is an outlet, this is a way to get thoughts out there. I would like to try to put them in a more compressed way somehow. Also like to have a little fun. Also I like to share some music. This is a great way to get all those things out there. And I figure I have a platform, I have an audience, why not use it? And I'll tell you right off the top right now, am I gonna talk about movies? Probably not. I might reference movies. I ain't gonna be talking about them. This isn't a normal episode of Cinema Crespediso. This is a podcast. Bonus episode. This is just me, Chris Crespo, hanging out, chilling. We're gonna listen to some music, talk some shit. I'm gonna talk some shit. You're gonna listen. You're gonna agree with some of it. You're gonna disagree with some of it. You wanna debate me? I don't know. I don't know. You can tweet me. You can email me, Facebook me. You know how to get at me. CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com, CinemaCrespediso on Facebook, CinemaCrespediso on Instagram, Crespediso on Twitter. I am Chris Crespo on Twitter. You can get at me if you want to, you know, share your disapproval or your disagreements or whatever. If you think you have a point, if you think you really have a point that I haven't heard before about something and you got to share it with me because I think this is it, I am going to turn him around. He is going to see the light. Go ahead and give it a shot. But if I don't reply, don't take it personally. We're still cool. And I'm super happy that you listen to the show and you care enough to even reach out to begin with. So I should go ahead and warn right up top. It's a ramble. In case you couldn't tell, it's a ramble. This is going to be a ramble. And don't expect much cohesion or a necessarily coherent thread line. Through line going through the whole, it's gonna be a bit of a fuck. As a matter of fact, if you guys even hear this, it'll be a miracle. We'll see if I even go through with all this. Have you guys heard? What do I want to start with? You know what I'm gonna start with? You know what I've been listening to today? I'll tell you what I've been listening to today. I've been listening to this album. Here we go. I'll start with a little. I'll play the first few songs off this album. One of my favorite bands. This is a band called The Dillinger Escape Plan. I've listened to them since the late 90s. They've been around since like the mid 90s. A few lineup changes. Their latest singer has been there since like 2004 though. So he's like not even the new singer anymore. Still call him the new guy, but he's not the new guy. He, the only music he likes is like, when he joined the band, he liked The Dillinger Escape Plan and Nine Inch Nails and then a bunch of like pop stuff, and he didn't listen to metal or hard rock and anything, but he joined the band though. He's amazing. And then he finally put out this solo thing, or the side thing he's doing, called The Black Queen. The album is called Fever Daydream. Pretty good title, Fever Daydream. And it's like, you know, this really cool kind of 80s, 90s electronic new wave type thing, but moodier. Like if Trent Reznor was doing new wave music, sort of. I don't know. I think so far I think the first like three or four songs are amazing. I love them. Second half of the album hasn't grabbed me yet, but it's cool. It might one day. That happens sometimes. You know, you listen to an album and like you get hooked on a few songs and you listen to those songs over and over and over until you wear them out. Then you like put the album away and then a year later you come across it again and you're like, oh, there's a whole second half of the album. And you listen to that and you're like, this is good too. What was I thinking? Anyway. Yeah, so here's the, that was all just intro. Here's the actual beginning of the song. It's really cool. It's cool, moody stuff. But that you can still kind of shake your ass to. Now tell me you didn't just start like nodding your head a little bit there. You know you did. You know you did. You guys dig it? You dig it? What do you think so far? I'm digging it. I think this shit's great. I think it's great. So, just let this play. I'm just let this play. What do I want to talk about? There's a couple things I want to talk about. First off, let's get into some, I want to talk some of that politics stuff. I'm gonna talk it. You know I like it a little bit. You know I like it a little bit, especially if you follow me on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. God bless you for following me. Well, I'm tweeting like that pro Bernie shit now. And if you don't want to see that, I get it, but it's what I'm doing. Someone hit me up on Twitter a while ago. A couple years ago, actually, I guess. Who, you know, following me, we follow each other. I'm a follow back kind of guy. That's how I am on Twitter. And I was just tweeting some, you know, politically tinged shit, because you know how divisive that is. Rile up the masses. Fuck you guys. You don't got, we don't share the same opinions. And then get all pissed off about it. That's the way it is. That's the way to roll. This person was like, hit me up, tweeted at me, and said, hey, it'd be cool if you started another Twitter account and used that for like your political stuff or whatever, and then just tweeted about movies. Because, like, you know, if this is making me, like, want to unfollow you. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know. I understand that you're here for the movies, but this is me. This is who I am. You want to tell me what to tweet, what I can and can't tweet about? So I responded very diplomatically. I was like, hey, listen. Like, you want to unfollow? You do what you got to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You do what you got to do. I totally get it. And that person did not unfollow me. I believe we still follow each other. However, I haven't interacted with the person in a long time. They may have muted me. That's possible. A lot of people may have just muted me. In which case, what's the point? Just unfollow anyway. So yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm a pretty pro Bernie dude. On Facebook too, if you're friends with me. You can friend me on Facebook. I don't care about like actually meeting each other in real life. I don't use Facebook that way. For me, it's more of a promo piece, a place to promote the show and my reviews, and also a place to just throw some shit out there. Like this article I saw today about how the Democratic, what's it called? God damn it. Who Wasserman Schultz is running. The DNC. The people in charge of the whole, like, choosing the Democratic primary and picking the amount of debates and stuff. they're every year they're like pushing for, not every year, but especially presidential years, they do a lot of voter drives. They get out there in communities and in colleges and try to get more people who are not registered to register and to vote. The Democratic side has always been bigger on that than the Republican side, than the conservative side. And that is because the unregistered, those who are disaffected right now, tend to be your more liberal-leaning people, people who might vote blue over red. So that's why it's so important to them, right? But this year, the Democratic Party, they're not holding the same amount of fundraisers, right? They're not going to the colleges. They're not pushing the youth and the disenfranchised to vote because they know those motherfuckers are going to vote for Bernie. They are voting for Bernie. So they're trying to keep voter suppression. They're trying to keep voters, vote counting down via suppression. It's the two sides of the same coin bullshit. They're going Republican on us. Shout out to my Republican friends. They're going Republican. I got some too. Shout out to my Republican friends. But they're doing the Republican thing on us where they're trying to suppress the vote. And that shit fucking works and it's bullshit. So what can we do? What can we do? I voted. They didn't suppress my vote. I'm not disenfranchised. I voted. Because in Florida, at least in my county, I was able to do some early voting. The primaries on Tuesday. That's what you gotta do. You gotta go out there and vote. And you gotta like engage people, engage your friends and neighbors, and that gets uncomfortable because that can, it's politics. It can easily get into a volatile situation, you know? Like, I don't know anyone who's actually voting for Trump, but I guarantee you I do. I guarantee you there's someone amongst my group somewhere that's secretly gonna fucking vote for Trump, but they ain't saying it because they know that we'll be like, fuck you guys. Fuck you, man. What's wrong with you voting for that? Xenophobic, lying, deceptive, weirdo. Make this an even bigger laughing stock in the rest of the world. Shout out to our listeners in the UK and in Canada. You guys representing, I appreciate it. Also, shout outs to whoever it is in France that's listening to us. I think there might be a couple of you. Bonjour. Oui, oui. Baguettes. Eiffel Tower, that's all I know. So, you know, I posted that shit today. What's up with that? We gotta go out there, we gotta vote, we gotta tell other people to vote, we gotta do our thing. To try to overcome the system. That's the whole point of Bernie. And really, that's also the point of Donald. The Don. The point is to overthrow the system, because the system is rigged against us. And if it's not this, it is seriously full-on rioting in the streets. And the way they keep us from rioting in the streets is by giving us, making sure we have our TVs and our, you know, our movies, our HD movies, and our culture, and our beer. That's why I can't believe they don't, like, I really do think they should, like, why don't they legalize marijuana and other drugs across the board? Because what better way to keep the people placated? Right? I'm surprised that it's not being used more. Like, here are your rations of drugs for today. Don't pay attention to society crumbling around you. So that's the point. Are you feeling the burn yet? Because I am. And that burn is from, for me, a lifetime of American politics that have been geared towards the wealthy and the oligarchs. The corporocracy that we've found ourselves living in. It's horrible. It is horrible. And it wasn't our choice. We were born into this. Thanks, Reagan. It starts with Reagan. Reagan was a goddamn monster. Actually, a lot of bullshit starts with Nixon, too. War on drugs starts with Nixon. Marijuana class 1, schedule 1, felony, putting people away jail for a long time, Nixon. Law and order rhetoric, which is highly racist. It's code. It's how they keep people fearful of the other, of the black man and the brown man. That started with Nixon. So he's fucked. But economically, Reaganomics, bullshit, breaks for his friends, for the wealthy, government contracts for his friends. There's a reason why, if you look at Reagan's administration, his 8 years, something like 200 people involved with his administration one way or another were either investigated or full-on prosecuted for crimes. No one ever wants to talk about that. When they talk about the great Reagan, how corrupt his administration was. It's amazing. It's amazing. He's not off the hook, though. It's not, I mean, it's not just him, because you got old Slick Willie out there, Bill Clinton, doing the Mea Culpa tour with the Hellcat. They're going to all the black communities now, and they're like, oh, we're so sorry that we enacted these terrible mandatory minimum sentencing laws and these drug laws that were applied disproportionately to the... We're so sorry. Please, you know, vote for us this time around. We swear it's going to be better this time. Bunch of claptrap. I ain't even talk about Bush. And then there's Bernie. And then there's Bernie, who, motherfucker, when he started running for president, he never thought he was going to be president. I guarantee you that. If he becomes president, he will be the most surprised person in the entire world if it happens. I guarantee you Trump didn't think he was going to be president when he started either, that he'd be doing this well. He just wants to get his brand out there, get his name out there. He's branded right now, and he's winning, which is annoying. Bernie just wants to get the message out there. The message that it works and it doesn't work, because Hillary has already started co-opting his language, his rhetoric. She's already started talking about trying to align herself with the people versus those at the top. At the top, she's going to start using those words now a lot, because Bernie is all about talking about that 1%, that top 1% of the 1%. You know why Bernie can be like, fuck those people? Because there's only a few hundred of them in this country. What, are they going to vote against them? Good for you guys. You can all vote against them. It doesn't matter when you have millions of starving poor. Literally starving in this country, in this obese country. Part of the problem is that all the cheap food is so bad for you. People are poor as fuck, so what do they gotta do? They gotta go and get 10 nuggets for $1.49 at Burger King. Do that 5 nights a week. And then they wonder why, you know. Well, why is the country so obese and so fucked up? Motherfuckers. We are truly... truly slaves. This is the... officially the... One, two, three, four, the fifth track now on this album, which I hope you've been listening to in the background too a little bit. It's pretty dope. I'm really liking this song. But yeah, the system makes slaves of us all, man. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy how we live, this life that we have, and it's the only one we have. And we spend so much of it doing things we don't want to do. How many of you are working a job you don't want to work? A lot of you. A lot of you. A lot of us. And it's so we can, you know, function in the system that we've set up for us, which involves... so many commodities and goods and services and a fiat currency that doesn't mean anything anymore. So there's nothing to back it up. It's literally just, they're just printing paper, and we've somehow agreed as a society now that this paper means something. Oh, because this paper has a 10 on it, this one has 100 on it, they're worth different things. You guys realize that's fucked up, right? Money used to be based on like gold. Like there's $100, you had a $100 bill, that meant you had $100 worth of gold somewhere, you know, at Fort Knox or whatever. It was backed up. Now it's just, why is there inflation and the crazy market going up and down and the crazy crashes and, you know, how did we, quote, lose like $1 trillion in the 2007 market crash overnight? Well, it doesn't exist. It's not real. It's not real. And if, like, we ever wake up to it as a society, shit's going to crumble. First, things will have to crumble. And it's the way it'll have to be. This whole system is based on bullshit. So it'll have to crumble. And then out of the ashes of that would rise a better society in which it's, you know, I don't want to say primitive or old school, but just more real. Just like, you know, actual exchanging things for each other and not like, not eBay shopping for Furbies. That was a very 1999 sentence. I think it was around 99, right? I think so. It's like, I'll talk about movies in this sense. It's how movies have been commercialized and turned into a commodity as opposed to being seen as art. It's annoying because then artists out there who do want to make movies that aren't going to be blockbusters, they struggle because they don't have something that's easy to sell. Whereas the stuff that's easy to sell is what gets made. But stuff slips through the cracks and you'll get The Revenant, which is a $150 art movie. And they didn't get $150 to make that movie because they had people who were like, you know what, we believe in art and we believe in devoting this much money into such an epic. No, they got that much money because they're like, we have a Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hardy revenge flick that we're going to put out in theaters. And people were thinking, oh, I want some of that. I want some of that action. So every now and then something will slip through. But is it worth it? Is it worth four Transformers movies and, you know, whatever Fox is doing to the poor Fantastic Four? And is it worth all that garbage? I don't know. So it's tough because I would like to advocate for a system which movies are only art, only seen as art, and it's people, or, you know, patrons will provide the funds. Not as an investment hoping for a profit, but because they want to see art get made. Patrons, that's a thing. People out there donate money to artists so that they can create art, not so that they can make money. But if you do that, then I don't know, man. Optimus Prime looks pretty cool. So, you want to be getting no Optimus Prime. That is one of them weird middle tracks. I'm going to skip that. Actually, let's see. Let's switch over to something else here. Okay, for real though, let's get contemplative. Let's get deep. Hey. So one thing to remember is this is the one life that we have. And it would be a shame for it to go by unappreciated. And by that I mean to the one person that matters to, and that would be to you. You know, the royal you, we, us, myself.
The goal of the life is to create yourself a soul.
I talked over the beginning of that, but
for me, movies are art.
Talk about movies.
More than an industry.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And it's a search of the human soul.
The search of the human soul.
As painting, as literature, as poetry.
Yes, culture.
Movies are that for me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Alejandro. This is the one life we have, and we can spend it doing all these things that we hate. Or we can do the things that we like. Not even just like, but the things that give us meaning. Because that's life, right? Like you said, the whole point of life is to create for yourself a soul. And how do you do that? You do that through expression, by mining your soul. This right here a little bit. Isn't it called soul searching? Do a little bit of that soul searching. Also, bumping the soundboard with my elbow. So really, the point is just do your thing. Do your thing, but do it in a way that's gonna really fulfill you. And if you have an idea, get to work on it. Get started. You have a story you want to tell, tell it. How do you want to tell it? Do you want to start writing it down? Figure out how you're going to tell it later. You have an idea for a novel? Just get writing it. Did you stop writing it? Why? Did you get frustrated? Pick it up again. Because you're running out of time. It goes by so fast. Of course, there are some people out there who don't think that this is it. That there is something else. Whether that be in the religious sense, you know, or reincarnation, or some sort of new age hippie spiritual mumbo jumbo. There are people out there who think there's something after this. Bless their hearts. The problem with that is then you're living for the next life. And that's not good. You're looking forward to what's down the road when you should be enjoying what's around you right now. Like the people in your life, family, stuff like that. This is a playlist that I've been listening to lately as I've been writing. Because I've been doing some writing, my own writing. I gotta write. I'm a writer. That's what I do. But I gotta get something out there. And so many ideas. And I know how it goes out there. You get an idea, you start working on it, then it's like, oh, this is like, where am I going with this? But then you get another idea, or you come back to something old, and you're doing a lot of back and forth, and it's tough. And I feel like this is something I need to really, like, get down. Like, I gotta wrestle this shit down and wrangle it and make it work and do with the story lately. And I ain't gonna tell you what it is. Nope. Not gonna say. Ooh, you know what sucks? Just going back to the beginning. I'll tell you what was a bummer. I'm a fan of the show called No, You Shut Up. And it's hosted by one of my favorite comedians, Paul F. Tompkins. And it's him and a couple of guests and a whole bunch of puppets. Like old Jim Henson puppets that have been reappropriated and turned into ridiculous modern style TV talking heads. Like there's a squirrel who is a super conservative Christian, and you know, she just says the wildest shit. And then there's a little rodent called Armin Mite, which is a take on Armin White, and he's a little asshole critic. And hot dog is awesome. Hot dog is so funny. He's a hot dog with arms, and he's just an idiot, and it's great. And I enjoy the show a lot. It's on Fusion. They do it every week. I think they're on their fourth or fifth. They're on their fourth season. They just started a couple weeks ago. And it's also, all the shows are available on YouTube, which is how I watch it, because I ain't got Fusion. Who has Fusion? What the fuck is Fusion? So I watch it on YouTube. And then I sat down to watch the last episode, and like, with, they did a total like Bernie hit piece, man. It was such a bummer to watch. They did this whole thing about Bernie Bros and how this comedian, Jen Kirkman, was in the Bernie Bro zone. And she was just trying to be like, Hillary's so great. And then Hot Dog was supposed to be like all the Bernie Bros, the quote Bernie Bros, who are epitomized, or not epitomized, they are described as usually young white men, college age, who are naive, misogynist, and are only voting for Bernie because it's like the cool thing to do, because like Killer Mike endorsed Bernie Sanders, you know. They're the Bernie Bros, and if you don't like it, you know, like, oh, go fuck yourself, because, you know, women suck, something like that. I don't know. Never seen one of these actual specimens in person. Not sure they actually exist. And it's definitely a cruel miscategorization of Bernie Sanders supporters who cross all ages and demographics and socioeconomic strata. And it just like proves how they ain't got it. The Hillary campaign got it. They're scared. They don't know what to do. They can't attack Bernie and his actual policies because the man has been an oak of convictions for the last 40 years. He organized like the first like sit-in protest in the 60s in some school in New York or whatever that he was a student at for integration, for desegregation or some shit. You know, he's been walking the walk since the 60s. His message is resonating, and they can't attack him because there's nothing to attack. The best they can say is, oh, he's kind of soft on gun control. Ooh, what a surprise. The guy from, the politician from Vermont, a state where like 80% of the voting public are hunters. What a shock that he's like, anyway. So they attack the supporters. They attack the people and they put them down. You're a bunch of Bernie Bros. And then that's how they had, I think it was Madeleine Albright who said there's a special place in hell. Her favorite line is there's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women. And she said that while on the stump for Hillary Clinton. Meaning, if you're voting for the other guy, special place in hell for you. just because, you know, you're not helping another woman here. And Gloria Steinem, she's the one who came out and said, all the young girls, all the chicks are voting for, they're going to the Bernie rallies because that's where the young dudes are, and they're just trying to get some dudes. I mean, how little do they think of the people, of the voters, of the voting public, that they actually come out and say this shit? But they came out and they said it. And then Big Willie himself, Slick Willie, fucking Bill Clinton, he's come out and talked about Bernie Bros. And it's a bummer, because I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. I know a lot of other people who are. None of them are any sort of bro. I think most of us, and not all of us, are feminists and into equality and like true, you know, true social justice, not in the SJW, you know, denigrating way that people like to throw out there. Fucking weirdos. Creeps and weirdos. That's half the world, it seems, is creeps and weirdos. That's why the rest of the half, that's why we all gotta band together and work harder, fight harder to get through that shit. And they did a total hit piece, a Bernie hit piece, on No You Shut Up. And I sat there and I watched it, and I was totally bummed out. And, like, I tried to laugh at the jokes because I do like the show, but it was so lame. It was so pro-Hillary, which is then just makes them pro-establishment. If you want to vote Hillary, then vote Hillary. It's cool. This is America. It's all about voting who you want to vote for. You want to vote Hillary, you vote Hillary. But know that you're voting for the establishment. You're voting for politics as usual. And that's the problem that we've been having for years in this country. You know, the 2 years ago when we did the last, the mid-election that no one turned out for, like a 30% turnout for the vote and 100% incumbency retention rate throughout the country. That's a mixture of gerrymandering, voter suppression, and voter fatigue, just not caring anymore. And that's fucked up. You know, so you can call for change and hope all you want, but we already fell for that in 2008. We fell for that hopey changey shit from an establishment politician. He was fresh, he was new. We could have thought maybe he would, but no. Immediately let the Goldman Sachs and the big banks have their way with the cabinet and the government and sold us out. I mean, Barry's done some good stuff. I like President Barry O, for the most part. But he's also done a lot of fucked up shit. And Kenton, you can argue, a war criminal. Because he's the one who signs off on the weekly drone strikes that take out fucking schools and hospitals and weddings and villages in the name of national security. Hillary is more of that. She's another corporate stooge. She's another notch in the belt of the oligarchs who run this country. Go online and look at who her contributors are. There's plenty of stories out there now about her paid speaking engagements to these private bank gatherings or whatever. Just know, if you're voting for her, vote for her. That's cool. But that's what you're voting for. Vote for Bernie is a vote for shaking up the system. Same can be said for Donald Trump. So if your choice is Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, then you're talking about, if they're both about shaking up the system, outside of that, they have very, very fundamental differences. Very fundamental. Pretty much, Bernie's a campaign of love, Donald's a campaign of hate. Pretty much. So, if you're going to vote, if you know who you're going to vote for, just know why you're doing it and know what you're voting for. That's all I'm saying. Just own up to it. Just own up to it. Because, you know, that whole Hillary is more electable thing, doesn't count no more. You can't say that anymore.
National polls now show that in a general election against every Republican candidate, Bernie Sanders has a larger margin of victory against every single one of them, as opposed to Hillary. So he is more electable. So you can't make that argument. So just know. That's all I'm saying. Just know. I know who I voted for. I told you who I voted for. The early polls in Florida are not good, are not in Bernie's favor, and that's a bummer. And that's a bummer. And if Hillary gets the nomination, man, I'm gonna vote for her because I mean, I don't know, that's lesser of two evils type thing, but I'm so sick of that lesser of two evils shit. I'm so sick of it. I haven't even voted that many elections, man. My first election was 2000. Bush v. Gore, so I'm already sick of that shit. Hey, shout out to all the shows that only have like one person doing the thing. That's impressive. Doing the thing. You know what I'm talking about. The talking thing that I'm trying to do. Shout out to all you guys. Because this ain't easy. Well, not that easy. It's kind of easy. I'm just talking shit. It's not even like I'm making that much sense. Am I making sense? I don't think I am. And you guys want stickers? Email us. cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. We'll send you some stickers. Yep. I think I might. Will I do more of these? I don't know if I'll do more of these. I think I'll put this one out, but I don't know if I'll. I might do. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if anyone even likes it. People might just be like, this is a bunch of bullshit. In which case, I ain't gonna argue. So let's end with a joke. Good time with a joke. Let's see here. I'm gonna look up a joke. Can use more better joke music though. This is depressing joke music. Here we go. We'll go with some of this. I'm gonna go to Google and search jokes. All right, here we go. Oh, so many options for jokes, jokes and riddles. Short and funny jokes, one-liners, kids jokes, 50 dirty jokes that are never appropriate but always funny. Here we go. Here we go. All these are bad. I've heard some of these. Alright, here we go. What's the difference between a G-spot and a golf ball? A guy will actually search for a golf ball. What does the sign on an out-of-business brothel say? Beat it, we're closed. Why was the guitar teacher arrested? For fingering a minor. Why does Santa Claus have such a big sack? He only comes once a year. All right, enough of that shit. Well, I am going to go. You be cool.